Okay, well, it's been a while since we've been here. We've gone through cold and storm and flood, and yet the Lord is faithful. He always gets us where we need to be. By the way, I want to make an announcement. It was on the website and emails that Dr. Dan Hill and Pat, his wife, are going to be here this Sunday. And I hope that y'all will come and support them. They're coming all the way from Arizona. And so I hope you will be here. And but most of you know who they are. They've been here several times. So anyway, I thought I'd let you know that. Okay, let's prepare ourselves in our usual fashion by having a few moments of silent prayer. And during that time, we have the option of naming privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's another day of insanity in this world. People who are exceedingly arrogant and full of all types of malattitude sins. And yet we can have calm in our soul because we trust you, because our hope is in the Lord. And we pray that you will help us to charge our spiritual batteries yet again tonight so that we can stand firm in a country and in a world that is well, we don't know what's going to happen to it, but you do. But more than anything, we want to be good and faithful servants to you, and that we'll be able to stand for righteousness and refuse to be compelled to do anything that is against your word. So we thank you for this. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, Romans chapter 11, verse 11. Now, we're going back into that for a while. And let's see. Danny, you need a Bible? Is that what you're looking for?
No, I got one.
You got one? Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. we're going all the way back to lesson 304. The date on that was 12/12/23. And we're not going to linger here, but I was going over this today, and I didn't like, it was okay to the degree I handled it, but you need to put some things in perspective sometimes. When you're going verse by verse, and you're going through it, and all of a sudden, you don't know where you are. And so, I chose this verse to put some things together. And it came together for me. I hope it comes together for you. So Romans chapter 11, verse 11 says, I say then, hold on just a minute. I need to put this on the board so you can see it. Okay. I say then, and he's talking to the Israelites, did not stumble as to fall. In other words, not permanently. Now, he's saying that the Israelites did stumble. And the way they stumbled, I'll get to in a moment, but it has to do with sin. They turned their back on God and was doing things they ought not. And so they did stumble, but not fall. And I like that, the way he's put this, because how many times have you walked and you stumbled and you caught yourself? Not always, but I think when I look back, most of the time I was able to catch myself. But if you don't catch yourself and you fall, there can be harm done to your own body. And the falling here means it's not like they stumbled so as to fall to where God would completely put them aside and not deal with them anymore. That is not what it's talking about. That's why it says, so as not to fall. It means permanently. It was a potential, it was a short time, relatively speaking, that they had stumbled, But God is not through with them at all. We have to be very strong about that, because there's a lot of people that say that when the Jews were saying, crucify him, crucify him, that, of course, the Romans carried it out, but they said that's when God turned his back on the Jews permanently, and now the church has taken over, and that it, the scriptures will not go along with that. So we need to be strong on this. So the response to that, did they stumble? They did not stumble as to fall, did they? A question. He answers it. May it never be. That's very strong, because God has front and center in the future. The one that's in the view there is the Israelites, or we would say the Jews. May it never be. But there, talking about Israel's transgressions, I'm going to get a little bit more on that in a moment, because the reason they stumbled, them stumbling and their transgressions are one and the same, and I have a shorter part here. It just says that they rejected Jesus Christ. That's how they stumbled and they had their transgressions, their sinning. So it says, but by their Israel's transgression, rejecting Jesus Christ, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them, that would be unbelieving Israel, Israelites, the ones that are stumbled, the ones that were rejecting Jesus Christ, jealous. Because God figured if he turned away from the Jews and turned towards the church, the Gentiles, and I'll say it a lot of times, yet Gentiles is referring to everyone else in the world that are not Jews, because that's the way the Bible handles it. You're either a Jew or you're not a Jew, and if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. So salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them, unbelieving Israelites, jealous. In verses 11 through 15, he describes the purpose of Israel's stumbling. Why did they stumble? The question in verse 11, the one we just covered, did they stumble that they might fall? Paul did say earlier in Romans 9, verse 30 through 33, that Israel stumbled. But now he asked the question. Stumbling is not the same as falling here. That's what I want you to see. God, in his perfect essence, had to punish them, but he didn't completely put them out from him from then on. So, but now he asks the question, was this stumbling for an irrevocable fall from which Israel could not rise again? And the answer in verse 11 is, of course, God forbid, may it never be. Perish the thought. Don't even think about it. Because God has a grand plan for the Israelites, the Jews, and for us as well. And it would be blasphemy to say, well, no, he's through with us just because we're sinners. Now, the next part, the fact is, you see that little red asterisk? I'm going to show you, I'm going to expand on this in just a moment. The fact is, the Israelites' temporary stumble brought salvation to the Gentiles. Now, this doesn't mean necessarily eternal life type of salvation, but it brought the nations of the Gentiles into the realm of the Jews. Remember the tree, the olive tree that we went over for a while? The Gentiles are going to be able to be a part of that, because he is going to... he's going to turn to the Gentiles, and the Jews are going to be left out. And the whole idea is that maybe they will get jealous and want to do right again. So the purpose of this Gentile salvation was to provoke the Jews to jealousy, so that they too would seek God through faith. They weren't seeking God through faith before, and I'll explain that again in just a moment. In Romans chapter 11, verse 1 through 10, Paul stated there was still in his day a remnant of Israel. And that was talking about believing Jews. And there are still a remnant of Jews. And there still is a remnant of the Gentiles. And it always will be. God always has a remnant. A remnant is usually it's a fairly small group that are faithful to him and are carrying out his will. There's always one there, and so that has a part to play as well. Now he points out that the remnant came to faith principally by means of being provoked to jealousy by the Gentile believers. The Gentile believers, when God turned to them, the Jews, a lot of them got jealous, and they thought, well, maybe we didn't have it right. So now, remember up here I showed you where I had the asterisk right here? The Israelites' temporary stumble brought salvation to the Gentiles. Now I'm going to expand on this. I have it again. There's the asterisk. The Israelites' temporary stumble brought salvation to the Gentiles. Now I'm going to talk about this. This is where I spent a couple of hours getting just this much, just that much right there together, because I had to do a lot of thinking. Because what I wanted to do is to bring it into kind of a chronological way that I think we would be able to understand it better. So here we go. The temporary stumbling of the Israelites, where they rejected Jesus Christ, that's the first thing. You know, the stumble had to do with them rejecting Jesus Christ as their Messiah. That was part of it. And caused him to turn to the Gentiles. So you have a rejection of Jesus Christ, and they also tried to be acceptable to God through keeping the Mosaic Law. Those two things are dastardly. Those two things are horrible. God could not put up with them. They stumbled, and he is going to discipline them, but they are not, God's not done with them. So when it says the Israelites had a temporary stumble, that's what it's talking about. They were not accepting Jesus Christ, and they thought they could be accepted by God by keeping the Mosaic Law, which nobody can do it perfectly.
Pastor,
yes?
I'm smelling smoke.
It's not smoke. It's a skunk. Yeah.
Okay. I don't smell him at home.
I don't see him sitting in among us, so. If he raises his hand and asks a question, I don't know what I'm going to do.
All I can do is say, what's it smell
like? I know. Well, it's pungent.
Okay.
But,
he's around here somewhere.
Yeah.
He's under the curtain, probably.
Yeah. You might have known. He waited right till I get to the part. And now he says, okay, time to think on high volume here, okay? Okay, so the temporary stumbling of the Israelites where they rejected Jesus Christ and tried to be accountable to God through keeping the Mosaic Law caused him, that is God, to turn to the Gentiles. So you can just see God was dealing with the Jews, but there came a point in time when he says, I'm done with them for now. Now, as you read on, you can see, on the day of Pentecost, the church age began. And God's focus turned to the Gentiles, and it will stay on them until the rapture. So here we have God, and he has all the Jews here. The Gentiles weren't a part of any of what God was doing with the Jews. And when they got to that point to where they rejected Jesus Christ and were trying to keep the law, he says, okay, I'm done with you. He turns them back, his back over there, and now he's going to deal with the Gentiles. And it started on the day of Pentecost. And it's going to go all the way. It's been over 2,000 years right now, and it's going to go on. I don't think it's going to be too much longer to where it's going to end. There's going to be a a day, a time frame that God is going to say, okay, the fullness of time for the Gentiles has been done. There is a number that only God knows of how many Gentiles are going to be saved and how many of them are going to be there. And when that number is full, it gets to that number, then Jesus Christ is going to return and we'll meet him in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 gives you the details. So, he's turned his back on the Jews. On the day of Pentecost, he made it formal. He made it binding that he began to focus. His focus turned to the Gentiles, and it will stay on them till the rapture. Now, there is a very sharp distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles. And when this is, by the way, in Acts chapter 2, is when you find out this is when the day of Pentecost happened and God told them, or Christ told them to stay put until you see what's going to happen. So he's focusing on the Gentiles, and he's continuing to focus on the Gentiles today, and will continue to do it until we're out of here. Now, picking it up after rapture, that is when the curse that God put on unbelieving Jews. Now, we went over this, and I'm bringing it back to our notice. That is when the curse that God put on unbelieving Jews, which is partial and temporary, that was part of what he did that they didn't know was going to take place. And this, you could say this curse is still operating today. But look at where it says that when the church age began, it's when the curse that God put on the unbelieving Jews, which is partial and temporary, will come to an end. It was going on long before then, but it's going to go all the way until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. Now, why is it partial? God gave a curse on the Israelites, on the Jews, because of their behavior. But why? What does it mean, partial? Why is it partial? Anybody know? We just talked about it a moment ago.
That's
what the. But we're talking about the Gentiles now. The reason it's partial because I said there's always going to be a remnant. The remnant isn't under a curse. They're not the ones who are that are going to get all this discipline, because they're the remnant. That's the partial part. So God here. Let me see something. Y'all hide your eyes for a moment. Let's see if I can find what I'm looking for here. Yeah, here it is, right here. And now I've got to put it up. Slideshow, and from the beginning. There you go. All right, this is what will help us out a lot. If you look at this chart here, you'll see, well, let's look at the very bottom, because all these colors mean something. The red color means times of the Gentiles. So, in 586 B.C. was Babylonian captivity, and that's when David and all these people were hauled off. And do you remember how long they were there? 70 years. Because they refused to let the land go fallow like God told them to for... it added up to 70 years, and so they were going to take it anyway. Anyway, and you have the end of David's line, and so that is when God essentially stopped dealing with the Gentile. With the Jews. See the blue? All that's in blue. I should have started. I put that red one next. Then at that point, up close to the the cross, then you would have the day of Pentecost. See where I have it up there in the green? So the green has to do with the church age. Now this isn't the scale, time-wise. It was only 50 days after Christ resurrected, you had Pentecost. And so that is when the church age began, and that's when he completely turned his back on the Jews. He's not dealing with them anymore. Now he's dealing with the Gentiles. And as we look at that, there's another thing that we see, 70 A.D. Y'all, I'm sure, have heard or know what the 70 A.D. is about. When Pentecost happened, it's in Acts chapter 2, you'll see that there were a lot of spiritual gifts that were going on there. There was tongues, there was healing, they could understand the languages that they didn't even know. All those things were taking place. And it was a warning to the Jews that they better get with it and start understanding what grace is all about and stop hating the Gentiles. Or else, if you don't get it straight, then I'm going to... God pulled the hammer and they were dispersed. There was no more Jews at that time that you would even see around, because they were... God just had them dispersed because Romans came into Jerusalem and they surrounded the city, and everybody in it was either going to be killed or starved to death or whatever. So there we are in the church age. But then if you look, that little arrow going up that's got it's not solid because it hadn't happened yet. When that happens, when Christ returns, then he is essentially... changing his focus from the Gentiles, the church, back to the Jews. Now you see, there's blue before and there's blue after it. You call that happened in the church is an intercalation. That's when you take something and put something between two things. And so then the tribulation is going to start. It will take place, and he is dealing with the Jews again. And how long is that going to last?
7 years.
7 years. And at the end of that 7 years, then we have the second advent. This is when Jesus Christ has been holding his wrath on them all this time, until all the horrible things that are going to be going on in the tribulation. And then at the second advent, have you ever heard someone say, and it's in Romans, we might not get to it tonight, but you may have heard it, about all Israel will be saved? Have you heard that phrase before? Well, it's in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. And that will be going there. But where most people get it wrong is they think every Jew is going to have eternal life and will be a believer. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about national Israel. And I'm just showing you this to put it in kind of a chart form where you can see the text now will maybe be easier. Alligator Bay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
That's my daughter.
Okay, let's get back to where we were. Escape. And we're going to minimize that. Okay.
Mike, that's actually national deliverance rather than individual salvation.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. It's not that all of them are going to get saved, but a lot of them will.
Yeah.
But it's not. The whole thing is national security and being having the nation. Because the nation is answerable to God just like the individual is. So, okay. I'm going to start from the very beginning so we can get this, because if you can get this and see how it moves forward, it'll make it easier for you to remember. So, the temporary settling of the Israelites, where they rejected Jesus Christ and tried to be acceptable to God through keeping the Mosaic Law, which is both of them just horrible, caused him to turn to the Gentiles, and when he did that was on the day of Pentecost. The church age began, and God's focus turned to the Gentiles, and it will stay on them until the rapture, till we're out of here. That is when the curse of God put on the unbelieving Jews which is partial. I said it's partial because it's not all Jews are going to be under that curse, because there's a remnant, and the remnant is not going to be under there, but that's why it's partial. And it says temporary, because you saw on the chart that it only lasts for a certain period of time, and then God is going to come down at the second advent, and we'll see what that's in the next paragraph. So that is when the curse of God put on the unbelieving Jews, which is partial and temporary, will come to an end. And that's in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, that says, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And when we were looking at this, I think I can do this again. Let's see. I'm going to try it here. There. The times of the Gentiles is the red mark. And it's going to go all the way to to the second advent, because who's going to be in when the tribulation begins? There's still going to be Gentiles there, and they're still going to be in charge. They're going to be and just like right now, look at Israel. They are a nation. The Bible prophesied that as well. And they are, it's still the green, is the church age, but the Gentiles will go all the way to the second advent, and that's when the times of the fulfillment of times begins. That's when, excuse me, that all the works that are Satan has done is going to be for naught, as we'll see. Okay, let me get this here. I'm getting you down. Okay, so the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Then the tribulation will begin, the time of Jacob's trouble. Do you know that's the title? One of the titles for the tribulation is going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. Why does it say that? Because Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, he's talking about the Jews. He's talking about the Israelites. And there's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble, and it's going to be trouble like there never was before and never will be again. We need to thank the Lord every day that we will not be in that nightmare. And yet, excuse me. Then, the focus will turn back again to the Jews. Then, at the second advent, Jesus Christ will defeat the forces of darkness and deliver the Jews. He will deliver them physically. Most of the words there says they will be saved. But he will deliver them from this forces of darkness. And many of them will believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is their Messiah and their Savior. And it is at that point in Romans chapter 11 verse 26 says, all Israel will be delivered, saved, delivered, right there.
Mike?
Yes.
That period of time will be where 12,000 from every tribe is going to be the greatest evangelists of all time, isn't it?
Yeah, that's going to be the first part of the tribulation.
That's where it begins. And that's why you got to save people going into the millennium as believers.
Yeah, well, I think that when you look at the rapture, I think there's going to be thousands, if not maybe millions, of people are going to convert because they had people give them the gospel, or they had a parent or somebody that was really trying to get them to believe the gospel. And then when they see that coming to pass, and they knew that God had that on the schedule, I think it's going to scare them into believing in Jesus Christ. But it's at the second advent that Jesus Christ will defeat the forces of darkness and deliver the Jews. Many of them, and we'll see that. Well, I've got to go. We'll not get there tonight. I can tell you that right now. But I'm going to take you into these verses that In Isaiah chapter 59, I'll just give you this verse. And a Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgressions in Jacob, declares the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them. And then he says, I'm going to put my words in you, and so forth. So in Isaiah 59, it's talking about what I'm talking about right here. That when Jesus is, and all this is going to happen, we don't know when, we don't know how long it's going to be before we're out of here, but we do know then the tribulation is going to take place, and all Israel is going to be delivered when Jesus Christ returns and kicks Satan into the pit and so forth. So I tried to put that together so that you, if you know the chronology of something, sometimes it's easier to remember and to understand. So if you're wondering as we go on past this and you want to see this again, just go on your verses and go to Romans 11:11. It's right under there. Okay? And you can read it. You know, sometimes I do the best I can to make this as clear as I can. But sometimes you just have to get along and you just start reading. You're going real slow. Okay, I got that part. You go a little more. And by the time you get to the bottom, then you really have it. Some of you may have it already, but that's one of the things that can happen. Now, verse 12 says, "Now, if their transgression, whose transgressions is he talking about? He's talking about the Jewish transgressions. He says, now, if their, the unbelieving Jews, transgression turned out to be riches for the world and their failure." Because when, let me explain that. When the Jews just horribly denied Christ and he had to deal with them, it was the riches for the world and their failure, that would be again the Jewish failure, be riches for the Gentiles. Now the Gentiles and the world are the same thing because the world is full of Gentiles. And so it's riches for the Gentiles because now God has turned from Israel and he's not filled with them completely, but he is for now. And then he's going to go over here and we're going to get all kind of blessings. And there's going to be probably millions of Gentiles that are going to believe the gospel because now God is dealing with us specifically. We have a New Testament that if it was only for the Israelites, they wouldn't even have an Old Testament for the church, even though it was the Jews that compiled it and so forth. So now, if they're talking about the Jews' transgressions, which we noted a while ago, if it's going to be the riches for the world and their failure, the same unbelievers, Jewish unbelievers, be riches for the Gentiles. Now, if that's the case, if that's what it is, how much more will their, meaning the Jews, fulfillment be? They're going to have a fulfillment too. And that's what this is talking about. But let's look at this word fulfillment. We have an asterisk there to show you that what it means. The Greek word for fulfillment is pleroma. That's P-L-E-R-O-M-A. And it has about 10 different definitions, but the one that is pertinent here, it means, by the way, I get if I don't have the source of the lexicon, the Greek lexicon that I use, if I don't have it here, you just take it for granted that it's BDAG. That's just an abbreviation for it. Because I think by far it's the best one. Every once in a while I'll go to another one. So if you're wondering which lexicon it may be, a lexicon is just a fancy name for a Greek text. Is a dictionary is a lexicon. So number 3 says, that which is brought to fullness or completion. In other words, once the church has been raptured, then it is complete. That number of believers came to that point, to the number that God has in mind, and it's pleroma. It is brought to fullness. And then you have A under 3, it means a full number. So I'm going to read this underneath here to bring this out more about what we're talking about. In verse 12, Paul draws a contrast between the partial and the fullness. The partial is that there is today a reduction of the nation to a remnant of believers. So what he's saying is that the nation of the Jews, it's minimized to just a remnant of believers. So if you can, I've never been to Israel, but I've talked to a lot of people who have, and they say that probably, I would pick a number, probably somewhere around maybe 95% or more are not saved. They're still under that partial curse that's temporary. Doesn't mean that some people that God chose not to be saved. He gives us all volition, and they decide whether they're going to believe or not. And so when he says that this partial fullness, we're talking about the fulfillment of the Jews now. That partial is there today as a reduction of the nation to a remnant of believers. You see, if the Jews could change their mind, and they have so many people that would try to give them the gospel, then the fullness would be even much, much larger. But because they're still under this curse, under this wrath, God is only allowing them to have a remnant, and he's always going to have a remnant. Now, this is the second hint of the mystery, that there is a connection between the fullness of Israel and the fullness of the Gentiles. I said the fullness of the Gentiles happens when? When is it? Come on. When is the fullness of time is talking about when the rapture happens. That's the number. Now, I'm going to say it again. God has a number, exact number, of how many people are going to be saved until the rapture happens. And when the rapture happens, boom, it's done, and we're out of here. So that's the fullness of time. And so that's for the Gentiles. Now I'm talking about one that is for the Israelites, or the Jews. In the Old Testament, they call them Israelites until they come back from the being taken off to Babylon. And when they came back, they went to Judah, and they start calling them Jews. That's why we call them Jews now, instead of Israelites, because they were taken away to Babylon. When they came back, they went back to Judah. There was no northern kingdom. And that's why they're called Jews. That's why I'm going in between where they are. So, note, however, that the national salvation of Israel was not itself the mystery. There's a lot of mysteries in the Bible that you can go through, and I'm not going to go too far into that. But they're going to have a time also, the fullness of time, for the Jews, and that's going to be at the second advent, when the Lord goes in there and destroys the forces of darkness, and they're going to see him fighting for them. And the great majority, I would think, was going to say, there's our Messiah. Look what he's doing, these supernatural things. And then that would be their number. This is from the pulpit committee, pulpit commentary. And it says, it is not, of course, meant that the gospel was not originally intended for all the world. It was, or is, but only that the present and immediate promulgation of it to the Gentiles has been due to the Jews' refusal. So it's saying the Gentiles have all this blessing, and so many of them were saved is because of the Jews' refusal to believe in Jesus Christ. I think, what time is this happening? Okay. I have time. We're not going to read Acts 9 through 8. But in verse 13, Paul said, "But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry." Now, what does he mean by that bottom part? I magnify my ministry. In other words, Paul said, in effect, I am the apostle that the Lord designated to go to the Gentiles, even though he cared for his people, the Jews as well. Because he was a Jew, and he was concerned about them as well. Here's another quote. In other words, Paul says, in effect, I am an apostle to the Gentiles, and I rejoice in that. But as I preach to the Gentiles, I hope it will move many of my own people to turn to Christ also. And this is the jealousy factor here. What was the first thing that Paul would go when he was on his missionary trips? Where was the first place he went every time he went into a new city or town? What's the first? Where would he go? The synagogue. That's the Jews. Now, he's a minister. He's an apostle to the Gentiles. But the first place he went to was to the Jews. And they, I would say, a great portion of the time, they would say, "You're full of beans." They didn't like him because they thought he was a traitor. He was on their side at one time. He was heir apparent, really. And now he's talking about the other side and Jesus Christ, who most of them had said was, when he died on the cross, that was it. And so the impact also was to his own people to turn to Christ. And when they let's say that Paul came in here and we're a regular synagogue, and he gives the story that, hey, y'all are still waiting for your Messiah. He's already here, and y'all killed him. How is that going to go over? And you have to have him in order to get to God the Father. But some people would. It would open up for them. They would see it, and they were believers. That would be the remnant of the Jews, and Paul would reach them like that. Okay, verse 14. He says, "If somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them." Let's see. I have a lot of stuff in here that I want to get past. Romans 15. Romans
15? 11:15.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the verse itself.
Okay.
So in Romans 11:15, it says, "For if," first class conditional clause, and it's true, "there," and he's talking about the unbelieving Israelites, remember, when they were against God, "their rejection be reconciled," or acceptance, "of the Gentile world." So, y'all look up here. Don't look at your Bibles or anything for right now. I want you to see what's up here and follow it. "For if there," he's talking about unbelieving Israelites, "if their rejection ended up being the reconciliation," meaning the acceptance of the Gentiles, of the Gentile world, "what will there the true Israel acceptance be but life from dead?" Now let me put this in the right context. You look at that, well, so what's it talking about? I could do it in this Bible, have it marked right now, that Paul is saying a fortiori here, essentially, is that if this happens, then this really is going to happen. And so you have, Paul is talking about the Jews or the Israelites. "For if," and this is true, it's not just potential, "if there," talking about unbelieving Israel who rejected Jesus Christ, "if that is going to result or be the reconciliation, the acceptance of the Gentile world," so it's going to bring the Gentile world in, and that's what happened when the Jews were rejecting God. So then he asked the question, "What will there, the Jews that are no longer denying but accepting the Lord, be but life from the dead?" Then it's going to be so wonderful. It's like being dead and becoming alive. You see, you have to. If I hadn't put these little things in parentheses, it's really hard to find out who he's talking about. But when you have them filled in here, it's just saying that God is so wonderful that when the Jews rejected him, he said, okay, I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And when he went to the Gentiles, it was to make them jealous so they would come back. If he can do that when they rejected him, what's going to happen when they accept him? It's got to be much better. And that's what we see here. But when they, the Israel, the believing Israel, acceptance, but life from the dead, and that's what I just read you a while ago, that all Israel will be saved, delivered here. Okay, let's see. The apostle had denied that they were cast away in Romans chapter 11, verse 1. We first did chapter 11, verse 1 says, they are not going to be cast away. God is never going to say, I'm done with the Jews. Never. And here he affirms it, but both are true. They were cast away through neither totally nor finally. They were only cast away temporarily. That's what I was showing you on the chart. They're coming back. God is still going to turn back to them. And it is of this partial and temporary rejection that the apostle is speaking, be the reconciling of the Gentile world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? That's what he's commenting on what we just saw. I hope y'all are getting this because it's so phenomenal that God can work all these things at the same time and make them happen for good. Let all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Everything. These are not good things that the Jews were in, but God worked them around to good.
Pastor Mike?
Yes.
I hate to interrupt you, but we lost our internet service, so we're no longer able to stream.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed you're fixing to start lesson 3, the next lesson. Did you want to stop or do you want to continue? Because we're not going to be able to stream what you're...
I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
Okay, now all we did was covered number 11 and 13, 14, 15, and I've taken this verse 15 right here. I explained it to you. Now I'm taking it to another level, this verse 15. I'm going to use the same words here, the same verse, but I'm going to expand so you will even understand it in more of a full way. So here it is right here. This is a detailed interpretation of Romans chapter 11, verse 15. It starts out, for now if their rejection, first class conditional clause, and when he's talking about the rejection, that rejection ended with the fifth cycle of discipline to Israel in AD 70 and loss of client nation status. So when the day of Pentecost happened, and you had all these, most of them were Jews, nearly all of them were Jews in waiting in a house. And when the Holy Spirit moved and the wind was blowing and they came out and they started speaking perfect languages that they didn't even know. They were speaking in tongues and they were doing all these things. Those were warnings. See, let me explain a little bit further here. People would come from all over that didn't even speak Hebrew anymore because the northern kingdom was taken out and they had been living around Gentiles so long that they didn't even know Hebrew anymore. But they are Hebrews. They were Jews and they would come back to take part in the feast. This is the feast of the Passover. And so when they went out there and they were talking to these people didn't have a clue what Hebrew was. They weren't speaking to them in Hebrew. They were speaking to them in their own tongue, which they never learned. And the reason that God did that is because those people needed to know as well that this is a warning. And if you don't stop going with the Gentile way in these nations that were unbelieving nations, then he's going to cut them off. He's going to destroy them. That was what was going on day of Pentecost. So he's giving them time, and over that, what was it, 37 years, something like that? that he gave them time to get weaned off of all the idol worship and all the false religions that were out there. He gave them time to come back to him. They didn't do it. And so when it says their rejection, it really came to a fruition when the in AD 70, and not only did they lose their city, Jerusalem, and it was sacked, and so many of them were killed. They were eating each other's babies because they were starving to death, and there were thousands of them that was taken. That was the end of them, of the north, of the northern ones. You would think that God is never going to have anything for them again. But in the day of Pentecost, he showed that he still loved them. He still wanted to not have to destroy them for the people teaching, speaking in their languages so they could understand. And so that was the rejection. So for now, if their rejection, it ended up losing everything because they were stiff-necked and they were hard-headed and they would not humble themselves. Now we have here, those has become the reconciliation of the Gentile world. In other words, all that benefited the Gentiles in this way. And I'm just pointing out that this "if" is the first class conditional up here. What will, he said, if that happened and the Gentiles benefited to be grafted into the olive tree, which is, we went over that before, they're going to get a lot more blessings. But because of the rejection, he says, what will be there, talking about the Jews' acceptance, but life, meaning Zoe, from the dead? In other words, whenever this comes about, that the Jews are accepting Jesus Christ, then it's like going from the dead to alive. You see? Luke 15:14-65 had to do with the prodigal son. And remember when the son left, he squandered all the money and he was starving to death. The pigs that he was supposed to feed were getting more food than he was. And he says, "This is crazy. I'm going to go home. It was a horrible thing that I did." And he went home. And when his father saw him at a distance, he already told the people to start getting ready for a feast. And when he came there, he said, I have sinned against God. I've sinned against you. And can you make me one of your servants so I can have something to eat?" And his father lavished him with a wonderful thing. That's a picture of what God has done to Israel and is going to do it in the future as well. That's a picture of that. Some people say, "Yeah, but he was an unbeliever." No, he wasn't. He was a son. He was a member of the family, so that makes it relevant. Let's see. We went through the parables. Do y'all remember any of these things? Okay. I don't know how much time we have. We have 5 minutes. And this is where we were going to start tonight. It's Romans 11:16. And no, it's not either. This is we haven't even got to us. Let's get over here. I just will at least show you where we're going to be. In fact I will. I'm not going to go back into the lump and the pieces of all that. We've gone over it already, spent a lot of time on it. Here's the olive tree, No, I'm not even there yet. Okay. Well, we've got so much of the good that I was going to teach tonight. That's not it, but we're getting close. This is when I did the doctrine of a divine establishment. Okay, we're going to go through that. Here we are. We're on lesson 309, and it is verse 21. Now these there's three or four verses that go together here, and I'm Of course, I can't start this tonight. But the next time I teach Romans, I'm going to start here and I won't review anything. We're going to start here and go because there are so many great things in here. I'm glad I went through that part of review and that I explained what I explained to you in kind of in chronological order, because you might have to go back to that. Just remember, if you go to the notes, go to Romans 11:11 and look at that again, because this person, a lot of these notes I pulled from, I can't remember the guy's name or where it was from, but he did a good job of doing it. But he left this part out to where you can fit it all in. Why was this happening? And when was it happening? So now you have a better idea of what the future is going to hold, and God is still going to deal kindly with the Jews. Do you know why? This is my own personal opinion. I think maybe others may hold it as well. Why does the tribulation have to occur? Does anybody have a guess of why? I mean, the church is out of there, and it's going to be the worst time there ever was. Why do you think God is going to bring that about? It's going to last 7 years. And the last 3.5 years is going to be worse than the first. Oh, I'll tell you why I think it is because it's going to take that much hurt to get the Jews' attention that they are so stiff-necked and abiding by what they've always known. They still are rejecting Jesus Christ as their Messiah. They're still waiting on their Messiah. And they're still trying to keep the law in order to be saved. And they're going to continue to do that until the second advent, when Jesus Christ comes and He is cleaning house of all the enemies that have taunted them and harmed them. And He's going to, I can't wait to get to Isaiah 59. The first thing He's going to do is defeat their enemies. And then the first thing they're going to do is to acknowledge their sins. And that's when He is going to bring them into the fold. But, of course, a lot better words than what I have is where we have it there. Okay, let's see. Are we done? Yeah. If y'all have any questions, we'll do it afterwards, but let's close. Heavenly Father, it is so wonderful when we can take your word and find places all over that really substantiates the fact that you are so loving. You still love the Jews even when they do all the horrible things. We do too. And you still love us. And you still have a plan for us. You have a plan for the Gentiles. You have a plan for the Jews. And you have a plan individually for each one of us, and how wonderful it is. And we very quickly recognize that we can't do anything on our own. We have to at least learn how to deal with our post-salvation sins by acknowledging them to you. And then they are removed as far as the east is from the west. And then we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we have His power. And when we have His power, that's when we really get into the spiritual life, which is the life that you have for us. And then you can see how all these things come together, and it gives us hope. It gives us courage, because you'll do the same for us as well. So we thank you for this. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do y'all smell it anymore? I don't smell it.
Oh, I still smell it. It's not as strong as it was.
But I
got it.
But when you have a house built on above ground, when you have a house or a church built on blocks, there's critters that get under there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know when we had to tear all that up. There was dead skunks and possums and everything. Yeah, we had everything up there.
I remember that.
It brought birds in there and the skeletons were under there. They had a big old mess. And it built the dirt up against the floor joist. And the floor joists were just a rock. And it was something to get out. And I pulled that floor up and look at it and they were busy.
I say, you all right? You all right, too, Chuck? Why you throw this something on it?
Well, I never mind good.
Yeah.
George,